So I'm going to tell the story about how this all happened, then I'm going to introduce someone, why this day is going to be one of the best parts of my summer. We were doing the series Brush with Greatness, and I picked this scripture for today on purpose because my youngest son, Zach, is a Young Life leader. And he's been very active in Young Life all through high school and now all through college. In fact, I think he could probably be making much better grades in college. Oh, wait, that's another story for another time. But he gave his first Young Life talk at Consolidated High School in College Station on this passage of Scripture about the woman out of Mark's Gospel. And so I had told Zach, I said, well, Zach, I'm going to do this summer series. I'm going to preach that one, but you're going to preach at 8 o'clock. And he said, eventually, he said, okay. So he sent me his revised part of this sermon, and it was an hour and a half long. And so he kind of pared it down and pared it down some more. And when I read it, I just thought, and granted, I'm biased, that this was really, this is a job well done. And there's a word in here that I think everyone needs to hear. And it was a totally different angle than I was preaching on it. So Zach is going to preach this morning. But if he bombs, I have my sermon ready. But so far, he's 2 for 2, which is pretty good. And he didn't believe me when I told him. I said, well, I'm going to have you preach all three. No, you're not, Dad. No, really, all three. No, you're not, Dad. And yesterday I said, okay, you're on, all three, buddy, I'm done. And I'm going to introduce to you, he'll tell you my favorite son. This is Zach, he's from A&M, he's a senior, and he's going to bring the gospel.
Yeah.
Hello? Can you all hear me? Does that work? Okay, cool. I'm convinced Dad waited till yesterday to tell me I'm doing all three because he forgot to write a sermon himself. So, thanks, Dad. Thank you. So I haven't actually really preached before this Sunday, so stay with me. Also, I go to church in College Station at a late night church, so it's at like 5, so this is very early for me, even the 10:30. It's early for me, so you gotta give me some patience, I guess. But anyway, so you guys are in for a treat. Because I'm here, I get to tell y'all some secrets about my dad. I know my dad talked to y'all a couple weeks ago about secrets, right? He did that? Right, y'all were here? Yeah, okay, cool. And I get to let y'all in on a very deep, dark one. I don't think any of y'all know this. But my dad, he loves baseball. Right? He only talks about it every sermon. But I guess he passed down that love to baseball to me and Connor. And also, he passed down the love of the Mets to his favorite son, me. Just kidding, Connor. Just kidding. But anyway, he didn't just pass down his love for baseball to us. He also passed down his love for every sport, right? And it wasn't, I remember as a kid, I never really watched cartoons or played video games. I pretty much just watched SportsCenter, and I looked up baseball stats pretty much all day. And I know we're in Houston, and so being in Houston, I have to say I'm a Texan fan, so go Texans. And I'm excited about Deshaun Watson. I'm excited about his quarterback potential. But I know it may be a sin to say in this church in Houston, but Tom Brady is my favorite quarterback of all time, 100%. And he's my favorite quarterback ever because of he's got it all. He literally has everything. He's a 5-time Super Bowl champion. He's incredibly good-looking, like he's a GQ model. He's got a supermodel wife for himself. He's got all the money in the world. There's nothing that Tom Brady doesn't have. He's always been my favorite, and I always looked up to him. And there's always been a part of me that's wanted what he's had. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we all at some point or another want the success, the fame, the career path, and the money that Tom Brady may have. But I watched this interview a few years ago, and y'all should take a look. And so I think that video really resonates with me because me even now, especially as a little kid, like he had everything. And just hearing the desperation and the sadness and the longing and the search for something more in his voice, It was so sad to me. It really struck a chord. And he says, God, it's got to be more than this. There has to be something greater than this. Even everything that this world's given me, and I think if we're honest with ourselves, we all have that same longing in our heart. That there has to be something more, that maybe we've tried all these different things that the world tells us is going to make us better or make us feel good. But at the end of the day, we just think, God, it's got to be more than this. And so the brush of greatness story that we're looking at today, like my dad said, is about a woman in Mark, and it's about this bleeding woman, and she has nothing at all in common with Tom Brady. I'm telling you, nothing. Like, she was an outcast. She had no friends, no family, no money. She had nothing left because of this disease. She had nothing. She had been suffering for 12 years, but they had one thing in common, and it was that they had both been looking for something greater. They're both searching and asking God that they're saying there has to be something more than the life I'm living. And they're both desperate. And so that's what we'll pick up in Mark chapter 5. If you have your Bible, flip with me, please. It's Mark chapter 5, verse 24 is where we'll start. And like I said, this woman is completely desperate, and that's who we're going to focus on in this story. So the Bible says, and he went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his garments. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And so what I see going on right now is you have this great crowd of people following Jesus, trying to see Jesus' next move. And this woman is desperate. And somewhere along the line of seeing this incredible crowd and hearing about this Jesus guy, she decides, okay, I've tried everything. And somewhere in this story, she had decided that, all right, I'm going to go all in. Like, I'm not going to let this crowd get in the way. I'm not going to let anything get in the way. I'm not going to let my disease, people looking down on me, this huge crowd, I'm not going to let anything get in the way of me reaching Jesus. I'm going to go all in. And I'm going to put my absolute faith and every last dignity I have left in trusting that maybe he can heal me. And so it says, with desperation, she's pushing through this crowd, and she reaches out, and she touches the very end of his garment. And in verse 29, the Bible says, immediately, the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Notice how the Bible says the word immediately. It was immediately. It happened right away. Jesus didn't say, it took you 12 years to come to me, so you know what? I'm going to take a couple years to heal you. No, that's not what happened at all. It said immediately that she was freed from her disease and her suffering. And I believe that's the same thing that happens on the cross when Jesus was on the cross, whenever he died for us. I believe that our suffering and our pain transferred to him on the cross. And it wasn't that we were just freed from anything, but she was freed to Jesus. She was freed from her suffering to Jesus. And that's the same thing that takes place on the cross if we choose to believe in him. So the Bible goes on and says, and Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. See, he's like, who touched me? He was confused, and everyone's looking at him like, dude, you're crazy. Like, you have hundreds of people, thousands of people around you. Like, of course someone's touching you. But Jesus knew the difference between a bump and a touch and a reach. He could tell that someone was desperate. He could tell that this woman was desperate and that she needed something greater. And he wasn't just going to leave it at healing her, because he did. At this point, she was healed from her suffering, from her disease. But he wasn't just going to leave it at that. He wanted to know he was desperate. He wanted to know her. And so he's looking around. He is our patient pursuer, looking around. Yes, he may have healed you, but he's continually looking for you, hoping that you trust in him, our patient pursuer. The Bible goes on. It says, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. And I love that because I can just picture that shaking out in my mind. I see this woman drop to her knees and just crying and telling Jesus everything. It says the whole story. And I imagine during this, somewhere along the line, Jesus got on his knees and he started listening to her. He didn't say that she had told him a little bit. It said the whole truth, the whole story. And I imagine him listening to all 12 years of this woman's suffering as she just tells him everything. He's just listening. Yeah, that must have been really hard. Sorry about that. Just calmly listening to everything she had to say. And at the end of it all, he looks her in the eye, says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. And so he calls her daughter, and I think that's so important here. Because this woman wasn't even a daughter to her own parents. Everyone had outcasted her. She was nothing. Yet the same woman that the religious people at this point had outcasted, that her friends had outcasted, the same woman that was suffering, that everyone looked down upon, he called her daughter. He loved her for who she was, because she told him everything. And because of that, he was able to love her and call her daughter. And I just imagine how freeing that word free and that word peace must have been for this woman. This woman who had been suffering for 12 years, probably almost half of her life, maybe. I don't know how old she was, but for a long time, she had been suffering. And how freeing those words must have been that you can go in peace. And the reason that that was able to happen is because she went all in. That somewhere along the line, she decided, okay, like I've tried everything else. I'm going to go for it. I don't care about these people in the way. I'm going for it. I'm putting my absolute faith in him. She decided that somewhere along the line. And she was healed. And isn't that the point of the story? That Jesus doesn't play by the same rules as society. That he loves every single person. And that all it takes is trusting in him and having faith in him. And you're healed? Isn't that the point? That Jesus wants all of us to go all in? He wants to heal all of us, but we have to be willing to go all in and reach out to him. And until we do that, we're going to have that same feeling that Tom Brady had in that video, that maybe a lot of us in here have had, that man, there has to be something greater out there for me. And I imagine that there's a lot of people here this morning that are wondering, well, okay, so Jesus, you say, everyone tells me he loves me a lot, and I believe that, and everyone tells me he's going to heal me, and maybe I believe that too, but why? Why do I have to ask? Why doesn't it just happen all of a sudden if he really does love me? And I would tell you, because he wants to be asked. He wants to be told the whole truth. He wants to be asked so that his glory and his love and his grace for us can be fully and 100% shown. He wants to be asked, and he wants us to go 100% all in with him so that he could show us how much he truly loves us. And I think one of the many reasons that Jesus calls this woman daughter is because she told him everything, because she told him the whole truth, because she didn't clean herself up first and go to him. And I think I often get lost in that, and I try so hard to clean myself up first so that maybe God will love me more, which is impossible, or maybe that people will love me more. So I try so hard to put on this perfect face, but that's not what God asks us to do. He asks us to tell him the whole truth. He doesn't ask us to clean ourselves up first. He wants us how we are, exactly how we are. And I just got a perfect picture of that this past week. Many of y'all know Biscuit, the dog, my dad's dog. Some of y'all may know her. And pretty much my dad mentioned earlier that she did almost die this past week. She's alive now. She's walking up and down the stairs. She's fine. But many people could have blamed me for the cause of her death had it have happened. And I would have been the one to blame, right? It's kind of funny. It's not funny at all, actually. But it was really scary at the time. I'm glad that she's alive now, though. But pretty much, I decided, okay, like, it was July 4th day, and I decided that I was going to feed the dogs at night and then go to my friend's lake house and then like get my brother to feed her that morning. And then everything was going to be okay. Like, no one would even notice that I left. Like, I was in charge of the dogs that week, but no one was going to notice. Like, she was going to be fine. And so I get a call from my dad while I'm on a boat at the lake. He's like, yeah, so Biscuit just got into pills that you left out for, like, because she has to take her medication. She's got into the medication that you left out. Are you at the lake? And it was very embarrassing, but I had a decision to either kind of cover up some of what happened or I could tell the whole truth. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to tell the whole truth. I'm going to tell everything. And because of that, I was able to see the love and grace that Jill and my dad had for me. Now, they could have easily blamed me, but instead they showed me love and they showed me grace. And Jesus wants to do the same thing with us. He wants to know everything so he can show you how much he loves you. That regardless of how dirty we are, regardless of how much we may be suffering or how people may look down on us, it doesn't matter to him. He loves us for who we are. So we have to be honest with ourselves and we have to be honest with Jesus. And I also got another beautiful picture from this story. It was, so whenever Biscuit, whenever she was going through her thing after she ate like 30 of her one-a-day pills. 175. Somehow she's alive. I have no idea how. But she, it's not funny. Okay, just kidding. But you can laugh. She's alive. It's all good. But my brother walks into the room like to go feed the dogs, and he sees Biscuit lying there, covered in her own filth. There's no words I can say in church to describe the situation, the room, and the state that it was in. It doesn't matter. It was just disgusting. Just know that it was awful. But my brother, clean as he could be, he doesn't put a towel on her. He doesn't pull her by the collar. Instead, he reaches down and picks her up and takes her into the car with him and takes her to the doctor. That he was willing to get himself dirty to save her. And that's what Jesus does for all of us if we so ask him. If we go all in with the faith that this woman had. He doesn't call us to clean ourselves up. He goes into us dirty or clean or whatever. He picks us up and he takes us to get saved. He doesn't just stop with that. He continues to work on us. And I got another beautiful picture of it, of Jesus, whenever I saw Jill giving Biscuit a bath. And she was kind of clean at this point, but still had a little bit of stuff on her. And I saw Jill giving Biscuit a bath. And Jesus doesn't just clean us one time and call it good. No. He continually is working on us, continually making us better, and continually loving us throughout, whether we fail or succeed. Whatever. And the only stipulation, the only thing he asks is for us to go all in with him. For us to have faith in him in any situation. Faith in him in our life. Faith with him in any situation. You know, I wish I could sit down with old Tom Brady and tell him what I'm telling y'all and tell him why he has this hole, why he has this need for something greater, that there has to be something more in this life. But I can't. I tried reaching out to him, but he wouldn't answer, of course. Who would have thought? I told him I was his biggest fan. I don't know. But instead, I get to talk to you guys about it. And I get to tell you all this story about a woman a long, long time ago in a place far, far away. It's for you, Matt. They got that was healed by Jesus because she went all in. And that's the answer. Going all in, putting your absolute trust in him. And on that day, she chose to go all in. And pushed her way through the crowd, and she reached out to him. And she was healed. She was free. She felt peace for the first time in 12 years. And this morning, you can experience that same peace if you follow her example. And I can't promise you that all of a sudden it's going to heal this broken relationship. I can't promise you that he's going to give you $10,000 or he's going to heal a disease that maybe you and a loved one have. That's not really the... I just can't promise that's going to happen. But I can promise you the minute that you trust him with your life, and the minute you trust him with any situation that you might be going through, any problem, any struggle, any time that your life just feels like it's getting too much, that once you trust him, that a peace and love and a joy will wash over you that can only be produced by following our God. That's the only way. A total peace. And we can have peace that knowing that God loved us so much, the creator of the universe and everything in it, he loved us so much that he was willing to go to a cross to prove that love for us, to die for anyone who chooses to believe in him. So how do we put that into practice? Okay, so it's very obvious for this woman, right? She sees this guy named Jesus walking down the street. It's very practical for her, right? She could just run up and touch him. But we don't see Jesus just walking around Missouri City. We don't see him so clearly walking around. So how do we do it? Well, like I said earlier, Jesus did die for us. And because of that, he broke down a wall between us and God. And now we can freely talk to God. And I believe that is reaching out practically nowadays. That's what it would take. Prayer. That's what reaching out is. And so I think there's a perfect scripture that very much relates to the woman in this story. It's in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. I don't have it pulled up, but okay, here we go. The Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And I relate this to the story because it says, the Lord is at hand. Regardless if we know he's there or not, or we feel him there or not, the Lord is near. He's right there. He's walking down the street, whether we see him or not. That's what the Bible says. It says, do not be anxious about anything. I believe the opposite of anxiety is faith. And so the Bible is saying, don't be anxious about anything. Have faith. And with everything, not halfway, but it says everything, through prayer and supplication. And I looked up the word supplication. We got it on the screen? Good. Okay. It's the action of asking or begging for something earnestly or humbly. So I just picture, it says with everything, with prayer and with begging, with pleading. Like, talk to God like he's the creator of the universe. Talk to him. He wants us to talk to him and plead with him and have a conversation with him and give your all to it. Give him everything, because he wants everything. He wants it all. So pray with him with everything you got. And then, as it says in verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will wash over you. This peace. I think if a lot of us are honest with ourselves, sometimes, there's a lot of times whenever we're going through stuff that we don't have peace. Everyone in here, there's a lot of times where we don't have peace. Some of us may never have it. But the Bible says that if we trust in Jesus in any situation, that he will give us peace that's beyond all understanding. It doesn't make sense, but it's there. It's an eternal peace. And so he wants us to go all in. He wants us to have complete faith and trust in him. That's what he wants for us. It's so easy to put our faith into the other things of this world. It's so easy to think that maybe if we had what Tom Brady has, that's the answer. And so we strive for these things that the world tells us is going to make us better. That's going to make us feel better, whether that's money or success or friends, all the friends in the world, or even the right girl or guy. We just rush to those things. And none of those things aren't bad things. But Jesus wants us to go to him. He wants us to go all in and all out with him. And reach out to him. So the question is, he's right there walking by, right? We know that now he's always there. God's near. So the question is, are we willing to trust him with all of our past, present, and future problems? Are we willing to trust him with everything we got and reach out to him? So I'm going to pray and then see what's next. Father, thank you for this morning, God. Thank you for the opportunity to preach to talk to all these people, God. Thank you for speaking through me, Lord. And thank you for my father, for my dad that gave me the opportunity to talk. Lord, we love you so much. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
If you'll stand. Hey, Zach. you need to go like stand at the back door so everybody can go whoop or whatever you Aggies do. There's like Aggies at the Fellowship Hall, and not one of them whooped the entire time, and I'm just embarrassed for them. Okay, if you'll hold hands with those people around you, on your way out, fist bump them or whatever. Someone told me I better watch out, I'm going to be replaced. So that'd be fine, as long as, you know. And would you receive this benediction? And now may the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. May you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing, that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine what your day would be like if you lived it believing that? I think you have a pretty good day. Take care. God bless. And we'll see you next week.